Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you because we are in your presence. And in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Thank you that we can gather at your feet and enjoy your presence. Enjoy fellowship with one another and with you. For we know that our fellowship is with you, our Lord and Savior. We thank you. For you do prepare a table before us, and even in the presence of our enemies, and you anoint our head with oil, and our cup is full and running over. Thank you that your word will accomplish what you desire this morning, Lord, to lift our eyes unto you, to see you, see your glory afresh, to be drawn to you, and to be empowered by you to go do that which is your will for our lives when we step out of this room. Thank you for hearing us, that you speak through me to your people today, Lord, that not my words, but your word will be heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of today's teaching is Renewing Our Minds. Renewing Our Minds. So, our text is the same, almost the same like last week. We're just going to focus on one verse from Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So last week I sat there, Pastor JD was giving the message, and then towards the end I asked my wife, give me a paper and pen. And I was jotting down some things that I felt that this could be God asking me to write something that I don't forget them. Because I was seeing what Pastor JD was talking about, and it was like, I will be building on that today. I didn't know. And then on Tuesday, I got a text that you are going to teach today. I said, ha. That was the reason I was jotting down things rapidly, because I was almost saying, I need this message need to be built upon. That is the Holy Spirit, not me. Absolutely not me. So, Pastor JD instructed us on the content of God's direct speech to Joshua, in which he encouraged him not to be afraid. He gave us a context of that. They were at the verge of going to the promised land. And Joshua took the mantle of the leadership and was the one to lead them. And he gave us some background information that like leading so many people and so on and so forth. But he landed on four things that he talked about last week. Raise your hand. I am a teacher, so you know. I'm going to ask you to participate today. Raise your hand. I'm not going to call you. Raise your hand if you know those four principles that Pastor J.D. landed from verses 1 to 7 in particular from that. Anyone that remembers all four of them? Okay, I am like you. I may not remember every single thing. In fact, I shouldn't remember every single thing, which is my message today. I should hold on to one or two things that I can grasp, that I feel the Lord is talking to me. Either Pastor JD or one of the other teachers is standing here and teaching us. God is going to speak to you. God speaks to us through His word, but He wants us to hold on. It might be only one scripture, it might be only one phrase or something that it speaks to us that day. That's the plan of, that's the mind of God for us, to hold on to that thing, because that is the one thing we are going to go meditate upon and chew and apply and live out, so that we can fulfill God's plan for our lives. That's the nutshell of my message today. So, but just for our review, the four things that he talked about was, when we are in situation like Joshua and we are afraid, that we need to lean on God's power to enable us to accomplish what He has planned for us. Lean on God's power, not our power. Secondly, he talked about appropriating God's promises to accomplish everything that He promised us in Christ Jesus for His glory. So, God's power, God's promises, and then He says we need to remember God's presence in our lives. God is with us, Emmanuel. For me, last week, that was it for me. Last week was me for Emmanuel. God is with me. And then we need to remember that God's purpose, we need to remember that God has a purpose for us. His purpose is to not stop working on us, but to conform us, to make us to become like His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God's promises, God's plan, I mean His purposes, His presence, and His power. When we go through life, like all of us, we do life. We all do life. When we get out of here, I was doing life yesterday. My family was doing life with our AC broken down in the midst of heat. We were doing life. So we are going to do life in one way or the other. Things are going to, we're going to face circumstances or situation. But the assurance is this. There is God's word or truth that covers every circumstance or situation that we may be going through. It could be boiled down to some word of God that helps us to know how to respond to those situations. So when we hear the word of God, or we read the word of God, the purpose of God for us is that the word will become part of us. The word will dwell in us so much that when the situation arises in our lives and is calling for the exercise of the truth of God, we are ready. those truths that have been implanted into our souls will bubble out to help us handle those situations in our lives. Now, we come to church and we hear the word of God, and sometimes something is hitting us in our heart. It's like really resonating with us, and we are going, yeah, whoo! That's how I say in my classroom with my students. Like, we're really like pumped up. We're excited because we got something from the word of God today to hold on to. For me last week, Emmanuel, God is with me. Yeah. Now, does it stop right there? No, it does not stop right there. That's just the beginning of the working of the Word of God in our lives. So, we need to remember that the Word or the truth that God drops into our soul for a moment is meant to carry us all our lives. What do we do with that truth? And that's the topic of our message today. Oh well, part of it, to renew our mind, but meditate on that word. God wants us to chew on that word that he gives to us, like we eat it and digest it and assimilate it. That is the only way that the word will bear fruits, be able to endure, and be able to do the work that God intended it to do. We all eat. We eat our breakfast or lunch or whatever. But that food in that form does not do us any good. My slice of bread does not do me any good. I have nurses here, people here, doctors, they know that the only way that piece of bread that I ate, the only way it can do me good, it has to go through this process of chewing, digestion, assimilation, right? Into the bloodstream, and then absorb into the bloodstream. And then it goes to all the various places to do the work. So when I got the message, Emmanuel, that does not do me good yet. I have to go chew on that. That no matter what happens, God is with me. So when our AC went out, no matter what happens, I know God is with us. God will take care of us. He is with us. Yeah, it could be other situation in our lives, but God wants us to chew on his word. So we're going to break down, for the little time we have left, we're going to break down that verse 8 little by little, because I've kind of summarized the message for us, but let's break down that verse today. So let's look at Joshua 1:8, the very first part of it. It says, he says, this book of the law, let's stop right there. This book of the law. So Joshua, at the time God was speaking to him, had some books written by Moses. How many books did he have access to? Who knows? 5 books. Joshua had access to God's 5 books. The Pentateuch, they call it. He had access to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right. So God told him, this book of the law is talking about those 5 books that he had access to. Joshua had just only 5 books to go back and study. How many books do we have today? 66 books, that's what we have. From that time to the first century, God added more, 61 books. So if God was speaking to us while we were there with Joshua, I would be saying, that book of the law and the prophets and the Psalms and the book of wisdom and the book of the Gospels and the epistles, that's what he's going to speak to you about. He's going to say, this book of the law, it will have listed all those, but as a whole, it will say your Bible that holds them all. So God will have said, this Bible that has 66 books in them. Let's keep on going. This Bible shall not depart from your mouth, for you shall meditate in it day and night. Okay, so shall not depart from your mouth. I wanted to give you a good reason for why the Bible should not depart from your mouth. Is there someone who can read aloud 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17? Somebody who can help us read that place, that passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Who would like to read it loud? That's what when I was preparing, I would say, it would be great if someone would just read it from the audience. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. Anyone?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you, sister. Scripture. How many of them? Where we just read? All of them. You say all scripture, right? All scripture. All 66 books of the Bible given to you. It will help us if every time we're reading God's word, we are personalizing it. So when I will read this, I will say, all scripture is given to me by the inspiration of God and is profitable to me for doctrine, for teaching me teachings. Like we're talking about meditation now, that's doctrine. For reproof to correct me, to guide me in my way, and so on and so forth. That I, when it says man of God, it doesn't mean the pastor or somebody just saying, you are the man of God, you are the woman of God, that you may be complete. You may be equipped. No, it's thoroughly, thoroughly equipped. So, all scripture. Secondly, 2 Peter 1:19 to 21. Anyone else? 2 Peter 1:19 to 21. Anyone can read it aloud? Please. Cold calling is coming. I'm just kidding. Anyone? 2 Peter 1:19 to 21. I think the Lord wanted us to hear the word from the audience today. When I was preparing, I said, let them read it. Thank you, sister.
And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so we talk about all scripture in 2 Timothy, and now he's telling us that these scriptures did not originate from men. This that has the 66 book, this is God's word It did not come from men. That's basically what it's saying there. It's been confirmed, and it's meant to be a light that shines in the dark place, and it is the people that God used, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, third place. This is the last one we're going to read from the audience. 2 Peter 3:16. 2 Peter 3:16. This is just to convince you that the epistles also are part of the scriptures. Makes sense. The letters, everything here, that covers the whole book. So we go back now to Joshua 1:8. I'll read from here on. So it says, let's go back. Say, this book of the law, that's the scriptures, shall not depart from your mouth. Mouth? You say mouth. What? This is what we are talking about today. So, and he goes on to explain what that means. Mouth. It shall not go from your mouth. You shall meditate in it. Aha! That's what the scripture in your mouth is. Because I did a little, well, I already know. But I just confirmed what I knew, that meditation is actually speaking the word of God from your mouth. This is not like the meditation that we hear today, understood today from the world. When the world say meditate, they are thinking about the Eastern or Transcendental meditation where they do like that, they seek to empty their minds, right? They try to empty their minds. But beloved, meditation for us is not that. Meditation is filling our hearts. They are trying to empty their minds, but we are filling our hearts with God's truth. The Hebrew word for meditate is, I don't want to pronounce it wrong, hagar. It occurs 25 times in the Old Testament. And the dictionaries that I look at was saying that this word can refer to a lion that is, growling like a lion that is growling over his prey. It could also mean moaning like a dove. It could also mean groaning like somebody who is grieving for someone. It could also mean mutter. I hope my accent is not in the way. Mutter means you're uttering something from your mouth, like that. Someone who is muttering words. It could also mean muse or ponder, like a person who is reciting or pondering over something. You're reciting or pondering over something. So, meditation is not limited to silent thinking, no. It pictures thoughts becoming a quiet sound, and then the words passing repeatedly through your mouth because they are occupying your mind and your heart. So, I heard Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God is with me. Emmanuel, God is with me. It starts with me pondering the words or the truth in my heart, and then I begin to mutter it. I need to hear it for myself, what is in there that is I'm trying to store in there, or I'm trying to pass in there, or let it stay in there. I need to hear it for myself. God gave us one mouth. He gave us two ears. God is very smart. We speak, we hear. So, now we see when God says, this book shall not depart from your mouth, he's talking about you taking the word of God when you read it and impresses your heart with the word. Say, stop right there, that verse. Stop on that verse. Every one of us, we read our Bible every day, yeah? Yes, we do. And then you're reading, and say, stop right there. That's your word that needs to become you today and for the rest of your life. Now, that's the word we sit with. That's the word we ponder over. That's the word we mutter. That's the word that goes into our soul as we sit with it. As we carry it with us to go with it for our day, I'm still praying to the Lord to help me, that when I'm standing by my door and welcoming the student, I can remember the word that he spoke to me that day. I can still run it through my mind so I can understand what he's saying to do, or how to respond, how to act, how to do whatever he's calling me to do. I wrote some words from translations to help us get the picture of Joshua 1:8. Just to let you know that this God gave us tools to understand his word. Translations are tools of God. When I heard that, the very first time I got that from someone, I cried. Because I said, God, how good you are. You gave us this book. And then you're giving us tools for understanding it. You gave us dictionary. You gave us translations in different versions. You gave us commentaries. You gave us everything God has given us. There's no book in the whole world that has something written about it more than this book. Volumes of commentaries. Volumes of dictionary. Volumes of translation. What is God trying to do? He's trying to get it to us no matter how he wants, no matter how we get it. God's heart is great. It's loving. It's kind. He wants you to get the word. So when God gives me the word in the morning or any other time he gives to me, I go to translation. I look at them. Okay, maybe I don't get the 20th century English. I am a second English language learner. I go through different ones just to see, to get a picture of it. So I brought three for us today. Joshua 1:8 NET says, this law scroll, because it was written in scrolling back then, must not leave your lips. You must memorize it day and night so you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. All right, there is this new one that I found out, BBE, Bible in Basic English, written for people like us that come from, like, we did not grow up with English. Say, let this book of the law be ever on your lips and in your thoughts day and night, so you may keep with care everything in it. Then the blessing will be on your way and you will do well. And the last one, NLT. That's one I read almost every day. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to do everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So now we've talked about the Word of God as the Bible, the whole Bible, that must not depart from our mouth, because we are chewing on it and we are saying it to ourselves as we meditate on it. We follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in applying the word of God to applying God's word. You know, when the devil came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they say? He was trying to quote the word of God, right? He was trying to make him do something. How did Jesus respond? How did Jesus Christ, our Lord, respond to the devil when he came to tempt him? It is written. That's the example of our Lord. It is written. It is written. It is written. Four times he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. When the devil tried to twist the word, he brought it back. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ was saying that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I don't have it there, but I'm just saying, when we stuff the word of God into our heart, we stuff it, because we're going to need it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to need it. We need to stuff it there, so that when we need it, the Holy Spirit can remind us of that. The cool thing is this, the Holy Spirit will not remind you what you don't have. You have to have it there, and then it reminds you when the time comes for you to apply the word to a particular situation in your life. Our Lord Jesus, in a way, was teaching us to displace falsehoods, displace anything that is not true. We have to displace it with the truth. We are bombarded with news and stuff. Our mind is troubling us, and you know, we have doubts and fear and anxiety and discouragement from just doing life. Things happen in our life. Untrue, falsehood, they are constantly bombarding us. They need to be displaced. How many of us know when we go into a room that is like maybe a closed room, and that room has foul odor in it, like really bad odor? Do we try to sweep it? We try to do this. Does it help if we do that? No, we are fighting something we cannot fight. How do we get rid of bad odor? Open the window, open the door. What are we doing when we do that? We allow fresh air to come in and displace the foul odor. The heart of man is desperately wicked. No one can know it. My heart is desperately wicked. I don't know it myself. It will try to talk me out of things that I should be doing. That's my heart. But God's truth will displace it. When I meditate on God's truth, that will displace that. Yesterday I was waiting for the people to come, and I was praying. I needed to pray over the message. And I said, God, please save me. Save me from myself. I don't want to pray now. All I want to do is just sit over there and wait for these guys. I said, God, save me from myself. And he did. He helped me to just stay put. Pray over this message while you are waiting, so I don't waste time. I'm just using as an example that we need God's word to help us. Do not think you're strong enough to handle life. Things will happen right over there by the parking lot in a little bit. You need God's word to help you live your life the way God wants you to live it. So what is not truth? What is not true must be displaced out of our lives by meditation. And then second to the last part says, day and night. Meditate in it day and night. That means continually. Yeah? So Americans don't drink tea. You all drink coffee. We all drink coffee. But tea, you get a bag of tea, right? If I just put that bag of tea to touch the water and remove it, am I done making my tea? No. What do I do when I want to make my tea? I put the bag of tea, right, in the hot water and leave it there. Let it remove those things until the water becomes like the tea. So it's continually we leave ourselves, our heart, in the presence of the Word of God until God's Word soaks our heart to prepare us. Something like that. That's continually part of it, that day and night. We are not letting off. I pray the Lord will open the door for me to speak more about this in the future, because it's a part that I talk about singing and songs, the place of singing and songs in our lives. It's a whole new message by itself that, oh God, God is great. God is merciful. God is good. He gives us tools for learning his word. One of them is singing and songs of that is put into scriptures. And I have a little thing that I wrote up about that. If the Lord grants and I live, I might be able to share that someday. The last part is this. It says, so that you might prosper where you go. So we allow the word of God to enter our hearts. We soak it in there. The main part of the work of God is to transform us. To do what? Transform us. So we read in, I'm skipping over two scripture here and I'm jumping straight down to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So basically, just saying that when we allow the word of God to soak into our lives, it brings the work of transformation. Meditation is the bridge between reading and hearing. Reading and hearing is over here. Yeah, we are reading, we are hearing the word of God. We are doing the word of God over here. We are doing it. There's a bridge. The bridge is meditation. The meditation that we do, hearing it, talking to ourselves and everything like that, brings that message, that truth, transport it to where we need to use it. For it is said in the word that it is not he that hears that is blessed, but he that do what? That does the truth. I have it somewhere there because I need to stop talking a little bit. It's saying, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man observing his face in the mirror, and he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he think, what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and not be a forgetful hearer, this is the one that is blessed. Blessed is that, bottom line, we accomplish God's plan for our life. Not blessed just with money or anything, I don't know, that's what God means. You fulfill God's purpose for your life, you are blessed. Because here is the word, you heard it, you read it to yourself in the morning or wherever you're reading the word of God. You meditate in here, you transfer that to action in your life. You are blessed. I am blessed. This is the word of the Lord for us today. And I pray the Lord will give us understanding so that we can use the bridge, we can cross over that bridge and allow the word of God to take effect in our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for giving us your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, is a light unto our path. How can we be free from sin except we take heed according to your word? Your word, O Father, is what we hid in our heart so that we may not sin against you. Teach us how to take your word and hide it and stamp it and stamp it and stamp it and eat it and digest it and assimilate it so that it will keep us from sin and darkness and lies and everything that's out there. We need you. We thank you that your blessed Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to understand. So bless us this week as we go forth. May each of us find something to apply from the truth that you have poured out unto us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.